It is predetermined. And it's talking about something that is fixed, immutable, unchangeable. And you cannot contend with God. You can only yield to Him. Now chapter 6 is a revelation. He comes nearer and nearer. See, people who discover chapter 5 of Romans, the inheritance in Christ, and many times they overstep. They start, people who discover the blessings of having angels may end up commanding angels to do things that angels never do. They overstep their boundary. They discover the truth of prosperity, and they begin to claim things that God may not want them to claim. How about a young 15-year-old Christian? Praise God, I'm king and praising God. And they claim Boeing 747. There's something wrong. See, they have not come to know Him. They only know what He has promised. And that's when you move into your Christian life. He's talking about our life in the book of Ecclesiastes and the book of Romans. And when you know the inheritance of Christ, the next stage that you have to walk into is to know your limitations, which is very difficult for people. We must know our limitations. See, a lot of people got into the faith message, but they forgot the faith message has some limitations placed by God on our life. In other words, if it's not God's will for me to own an aeroplane, I have no business trying to claim an aeroplane. Do you know how much it costs to park a plane? And some people think that the faith message is just owning planes and driving Mercedes-Benz or BMWs and that's all. That's not what the faith message is for. Although, I do preach a faith message without compromise. Now, I know people who are against a faith message who don't even listen to it carefully and check with the Bible. Which is another wrong approach. And perhaps they'll say, oh, because some people, you know, did those things there, therefore they're against the faith message. But just because somebody, you know, forged money, therefore you don't want to use money. Same thinking. And just because somebody misused the car, therefore I don't want to use any more cars. No, just because somebody misused a truth, doesn't mean I'm going to reject the truth. I'm going to find out the truth and find how it actually apply and apply it and then show forth the correct way of applying it. If somebody doesn't know how to drive the car, the best way is not to say therefore avoid cars. The best way is get into the car and show the person how to actually drive it. So, when we discover chapter 5, we're excited about the inheritance in Christ. Praise God. No sickness, no poverty, redemption from the curse of the law, redemption from this, redemption from that, redemption from that. And we're always at the redemption counter. Claiming our redemption. God, I am redeeming this today. Finally, you grew up as a Christian and you enter chapter 6. He is mightier than I. In chapter 6, you learn to die. All over again. See, Romans 6, the key verse is in verse 10 and 11. For the death that he died to sin once. That the life he lives to God. In other words, now in verse 11, we have to die and now we have to live for God. And live unto God. When Jesus Christ was tempted to use the power He had to change stones into bread, He had the power. But He chose not to use His power for His own benefit. And one of the things that we must learn as Christians is after we learn our inheritance, in chapter 6 we must learn how not to use the power available to us for our own ends. That's where we learn the limitations. Chapter 7, both in Ecclesiastes and in Romans, is struggling to learn the ways of the Spirit. Chapter 6, we learn the limitations. Chapter 7 is the struggle, the famous struggle that Paul has, that many Christians quote because they're struggling too. And they said, in verse 23, they see a law in their members warring against the law of their mind. bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in our members. And I say, oh wretched man that I am. In verse 24, Romans 7. Who will deliver me from this body of death? They are struggling in themselves. And in chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, there is also a struggle going on here. In verse 13 and 14, Ecclesiastes. Consider the work of God. For who makes straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find nothing that will happen after him. Verse 25. I have applied my heart to know, to search out wisdom and the reason of things. So in chapter 7, the Ecclesiastes, the author, is struggling in order to understand adversity and prosperity. He's trying to understand why some things happen. Now this is where, after you pass chapter 6 in the book of Romans, you learn your limitation. In chapter 7, you wrestle with the issue of tribulation. You wrestle with the issue of suffering for Jesus. We're not talking anymore about suffering sickness and diseases and all those things that you have passed the stage earlier. But now you wrestle with what it means that Paul says to suffer for Jesus. To be willing to be inconvenienced. To be willing to be a servant to all. To lay down your life for others. To be willing to take abuse. To be willing to take tribulation. In chapter 7 we learn to take tribulation. To realize that our body sometimes, like Paul says, rebels. Inside you, you're in your own self, you found it's not easy to take tribulation. That's why even the Apostle Paul struggled. But yet he say, he has this treasure in earthen vessel. And he will choose to take infirmities that Jesus be glorified. Come to that stage. Chapter 8, you discover the power of the law of the Spirit of life. You see in chapter 8, verse 8 in Ecclesiastes, no one has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, and no one has power in the day of death. Of course, he said no one in Ecclesiastes. We know there's someone who has. Because in Romans 8, you begin to know the law of the Spirit and the power of the resurrection from the dead. Romans 8 verse 11. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And also that famous phrase in verse 8, those who are led by the Spirit, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But it says here in verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In chapter 8, you encounter the Holy Spirit. In chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes, verse 7 and 8, is now different. It says, go. Notice now he is different. Just now it says, be contented with your food and your drink. Now in chapter 9 it's different. It says, go eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a merry heart. And God has already accepted your works. Let your garments always be white. Let your head lack no oil. Now that power of the Spirit remains in chapter 9. But chapter 9 of Ecclesiastes goes with Romans 12. You see, Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11 are just a diversion that talks about the Jews. So that part is taken out of the way. And now it's Romans 12 ties up with Ecclesiastes 9. And Romans 12 is one of the most beautiful parts in chapter 1 and 2. And Romans 12 has the gifts of the Spirit. Do you know when the Bible talks about the wine of the Spirit? There's the oil of the Spirit. There's the wine of the Spirit. Both are the same Holy Spirit. But when the Bible talks about wine, the Bible talks about gifts. When the Bible talks about oil, the Bible talks about just anointing. And it's Romans 12 that lists all the gifts, the ministry gifts. By Romans 9, you begin to flow in the gift of God. You begin to discover the offices of God. The office you stand in, whether it be fivefold or the nine ministries of believers. And we are talking about ministries, whether full-time or non-full-time. And what happens in Ecclesiastes 9 is you begin to discover the ministry God has in your life. A lot of Christians have not reached Ecclesiastes 9 yet, or Romans chapter 12. Then in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, he goes on to talk about many different areas, and he's a lot of little bits of advice here. In almost every verse, he talks about being wise, being kind, and he says here, in verse 2, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. And verse 3, even when a fool walks around, he lacks wisdom, and shows everyone he's a fool. If the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. And verse 10, if the axe is dull, one does not sharpen the edge, and he must use more strength, but wisdom brings success. And he says in verse 20, do not curse the king even in your thought. Do not curse the rich even in your bedroom. What is he saying in chapter 10 here in Ecclesiastes? He's saying, walk in love. Which Romans chapter 13 summarizes it and says that we owe men nothing except in verse 8 to love one another. And Romans 13 tells us the same thing. Don't do this, don't do that, you know, which is the same like Ecclesiastes 10. That you shall not curse the king in your thoughts, you shall not speak against your rulers, you shall not speak against authorities, you shall respect them. And owe no man anything, but we have to love. And love includes respect. Remember that. You cannot just go around saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I love this, but you don't have respect. Love and respect go together. Two more chapters, chapter 11. Second last chapter, praise the Lord. We'll do it without the aircon. Chapter 11. It says in verse 1, cast your bread upon the waters, for you will find it after many days. And it talks about sowing. And sowing and reaping. Verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to behold the sun. Verse 9. O young men, rejoice in your youth. Let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you judgment. And chapter 11 verse 2, Ecclesiastes. Give a serving to seven and also to eight. Now in chapter 11, after chapter 10, where you begin to walk in love, in respect to rulers and authorities, which you also find in the book of Romans 13. In chapter 14, you notice that it begins to talk about the body of Christ, especially. If you read carefully in Romans 13, it talks about the body of Christ. Romans 13 talks about love. And Romans 14, it says, in verse 1, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Now, in Romans 13, it talks about relationship with unbelievers and authorities. In Romans 14, it talks about especially relationships with believers. And those are the two things that as you walk in the body of Christ, we have to understand. In Ecclesiastes 10, it teaches you how to relate with unbelievers. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 talks about within believers, we learn to relate one to another. Finally, Ecclesiastes 12, which covers Romans 15 and 16, and that concludes the entire book. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he finally returns back to God, and he realized in verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Chapter 13 and 14, the last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment. including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. Now what we have in Romans 15 and 16 is it tells us that there is a time for payday. The devil will get his judgment, and the believer who walks with God will get their reward. And you'll find these two themes in Romans 15 and Romans chapter 15 and Romans chapter 16. Where in chapter 15, he tells us to be like-minded in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 13, it says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." What kind of hope? Hope knowing that God will bring to pass every promise of His, and bring to pass every work of yours. And chapter 16 of Romans, it tells us that God is going to bring Satan and judge Satan under our feet. Verse 20, "The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." Which concludes Ecclesiastes chapter 12, which tells us that there is a payday someday, for good and for bad. And that is why we should flow along with God and obey God. Praise God. This is one of the fastest book we have run across in 1 hour. And we could go more into that, but time is short. So let's close in prayer. Father God, we ask that you would seal the understanding in this book into our hearts and into our lives, O God. We thank you, Father God, that through your mercy you manifested Jesus Christ in our hearts tonight, so that we could return to Him, Lord, with all our heart, minds and soul. And we thank you for manifesting even as we meet together, Lord. And for what you have ministered, Lord, in your manifestation, let it continue, O God, in our life, even as we go. And we pray, O God, that even right now, you would cause to come upon our hearts and our lives and establish the word that we would learn to walk with you step by step, Lord. May we never slide away from you, Lord, but may we grow deeper and deeper in love with you, Lord, to know what our whole duty is and what we are to do on this earth, O God. So establish generosity in our heart, Lord, and remove all selfishness. And cause us to know eternity in our hearts, Lord, to live not only for this life, but for the next life. And cause us most of all not to live apart from you, but to live in you. For in you we live and move and have our being, Lord. Seal your blessings over each life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. If you need any ministry tonight, we'll meet you outside there, right? So that they can close the place up tonight. Praise God.